This is a HeadGum Original.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Ready, set, up.
Go!
It's called drifting.
What do you mean, drift?
The cars are lighter. The tires are slick. When you drift, if you ain't out of control, you ain't in control.
Still need a dictionary?
The other side of the world, on the wrong side of the law, a new style of racing rules the Tokyo underground.
How you guys get away with this?
And all the best drivers want in.
Who's a tourist?
Let's see what the kids got.
Then let's race.
But when you live on the edge, anything can happen.
You came to the wrong place.
Now, in a place where life moves this fast.
That's a lot of money.
Hey, you're moving up in the world.
You gotta elevate your company.
The bigger the risk, the greater the rush.
Stay away from them.
All my life, people have told me I don't fit in. Maybe I've just been in the wrong place.
Hey, look, what's up? Woo!
Almost over now.
Life's simple. Make choices. Don't look back.
The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
What a treat. Okay, so Gabrus is here. He's co-hosting with me because Lauren Lapkus is a little bit preoccupied. She's got something in her home that she needs to take care of.
She's got a great gig. It's a gig that's hard to book, but once you book it, it requires years of work, which is exciting.
Years and years of work.
Not for me. Not for him.
I mean, not for me either. I mean, boy, oh boy. It's hard to book the person to help me book the job. Anywho, it's getting real inside. It's like, what the fuck are we talking about?
Wrong podcast. This is Newcomers, not Why Won't You Impregnate Me? The Patreon of Why Won't You Date Me?
Imagine, and it's just me begging people, being like, please impregnate
me. It's people competing to be your IVF partner. It's like a reality show.
I mean, it's getting to the point where it might have to become that. She's getting fucking old.
Girl.
So this is the third episode of the fourth season. You know, we're watching the Fast and the Furious franchise. So we're doing 10 episodes. We're covering all 9 movies along with Hobbs and Shaw. Today, we are discussing a movie.
I keep forgetting you think you saw all these movies, and it makes me so excited that you watched Tokyo Drift, Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift, the movie we're covering today, which features neither Paul Walker nor Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel is in it for a hot
Features
second.
Wait, okay. Being the hard verb there, yeah.
Real quick, you can get it on DVD if that's like your jam. Who's still buying, whatever. You get it for free on Peacock. Oh, I didn't know. Or you can buy it on Amazon.
I wasted $3 on Apple like
well,
an
actually,
idiot.
Well, actually, I bought the whole series because I was like, one of these days I'm going to like watch all my favorite movies. Turns out I don't know any of them.
Now you're doing it for work. Just as fun as doing it for fun, I guess.
I mean, Gabrus, do you want to introduce our guest?
I would like nothing more than to introduce our guest. I mean, she's a podcasting legend. We share a fucking birthday, which is maybe one of the biggest street creds you can have. And she's fucking from the right. She's writer on Inside Amy Schumer, The President Show, and The Simpsons, SNL, Kroll Show, a lot of your favorite comedy shows, and now also your favorite comedy show, The Newcomers. We got Christine Nangle.
Also, famously, my improv coach for a very long time.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
That's right. I coached little Nicole back in the Google. One of the people on your team worked for Google, right?
Yeah, so we got to rehearse in the Google offices, and there were scooters and ball pits and snacks.
And snacks. And it was weird because he was so nice, the guy that would bring us there. I was the coach, but I feel like I took the most snacks because I had like no money. And I was like so embarrassed to be like, I'm your coach, but like, can I have the cereal?
Yeah. Wait, if you ever coach improv in LA, which I think both of you graduated past, but
no,
you're
I
at
did.
People's apartments and you're like,
yes.
Yo, you guys got Oreos? You see shit in the cabinet and you're like, yo, it's hard out here for me. I'm new to this city. Can I take some of these fucking Thin Mints, baby?
That makes me so happy, you going to people's homes being like, yeah, be funnier. Can I have cookies?
Yeah. You guys kind of lost track of the game in the second beat there. And yes, my laundry needs to be flipped.
We're going to do a group game where it's a trust thing. We all close our eyes. We all cover our ears. And then I go into the kitchen and take what I want.
You guys forget what was in the fridge and never remember what's missing.
Wait, have you guys seen Tokyo Drift before?
I had not.
Yes, Nicole, I have seen
Tokyo Drift. Did you
see
it in theaters?
I saw Tokyo Drift in the theaters,
yep,
yes.
Okay.
The
okay.
answer to this question from here on out will be yes.
Yes, I saw it in the theater. All 10
of these movies I saw in the theater because I'm a lifelong supporter of the arts and don't frequently have things to do.
When I saw that Gabrus was like co-hosting for the Fast and the Furious, I was like, there's no way that guy has not seen all these. Yeah. And if for some reason, like he kind of got through life not seeing them, there's no way he didn't already make a podcast out of watching them and talking to people sure. about it.
I like to refer to myself as the old comer on this podcast. Actually, on all podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the old comer.
It's me, the old comer. It takes a little effort, but it's still fun when it happens.
But it still happens. You still do it.
Well, less frequently, but just as... Never mind. What are we talking about here?
We're talking about you coming.
Finally!
Okay, do you remember the audience reaction to this movie?
A little. I remember my personal reaction
What
to
was
it,
your which, personal yeah. reaction?
Very sort of like... Anthology movies weren't a thing yet. You know what I mean? There wasn't like mm-hmm. series that you watched where it's like, it's a different cast each episode. That wasn't a thing. So it was mad confusing, but Toretto
mad
coming
confusing.
Out at the end. Mad confused. I know I'm talking like the day I saw it. I was mad confused. And then Toretto showed up at the end and I was like, oh. And now this is a thing we know about from Avengers and every comic book movie. Mm-hmm. But this shit wasn't happening in movies previously where there's like a random sting at the end that's like, actually, all these movies are connected.
Because also that was the first time that they used the word family that I like in a real like Fast and the Furious type way. They're like,
yeah.
He knew Han. He said he's like family. And then that's mm-hmm. like the lead into Vin Diesel.
The last 5 minutes they said family maybe 8 times. I was like, okay.
I think it's said once each movie because like obviously they're building on something, but this is the movie where they tag it at the end and then you realize they're closing the whole fucking thing in on itself. They're like, let's start saying family, everybody knows each other. This and buyer, I'm looking forward to talking you through this as we go forward. the events of this movie at the end are retconned, which means retroactively continuity, like the changing of the continuity twice. So two times we will relitigate what actually happened to Han, once in 5 and then once again in 9. I promise you, it's crazy. Get ready. We're going to learn. We're going to keep learning every movie something different actually happened to Han. Just get excited.
Okay. Because I feel like
sorry
I've heard
to jump
Han's
right to the end
name.
Of this movie.
No, it's yeah. fine. I feel like I've heard Han's name, and I guess I just was like, oh, that must be a character I just forgot about. I don't know why. I just kept telling myself I had seen the movies and just forgotten about key elements. I never laid eyes on this. This was about high school kids who were 45 years old. Everybody in this movie was so old.
Oh my God. That's my major thing was like this dude, like the opening scene is like slow motion going through like metal detectors. And I thought that they were going to like a concert or a game or something. and then it was like, so this dude goes in and he's just not, I mean, he's in his like late 20s. And I was like, oh, he's a teacher. And then he's like in the class. I was like, oh, he teaches shop class or whatever. And then he's like a student. And I was like, no shit. Yeah.
Referring to Lucas Black, who plays our lead in this movie.
And
he's Sean Boswell.
He's got a curious accent that I've truly never heard another human being have.
Yeah, it's really funny to have that intense of an accent and then also take your movie to Japan. Like, it's really funny. Like, in Japan, they're like, is this what Americans sound like? It's like, honestly, even people that went to the same high school as him don't sound like this.
That's right.
I mean, it was a choice. Also, his body is interesting. I mean, I don't want to body shame. But I'm not shaming. I'm just talking about facts. His arms float so far out from his torso. And then his feet, he kind of walks like a duck. They're pointed not straight ahead, but truly to the left and the right.
Did you clock that?
It was really interesting. I was like, huh.
I was trying to figure out, like, because there's, you know, so many of the other guys in that movie, they walk. With a lot of slow motion, but kind of like muscly with their like shirt cut really low. And I was trying to figure out if that was like an acting choice that he was like, I'm a teenager, so I'm going to be a little like gangly. But then it can't have been. I think that's just his body.
Yeah,
no, I think he's one of those Hollywood actors from like the late 90s who's like, I'm like a leading man, but I am 5'5", so I overcompensate with like stances and like shoulders and shit and like using, performance enhancements or whatever. He's 82. He's born the same year as me. So this movie comes out in 2006. He's playing 17 when he is fucking 25 years old.
He looks older than 25.
Yes, sure does. Yes. Like, he's a Hollywood child actor.
Weathered. Oh, he's a child actor?
I don't know about child actor, but he's in, whatchamacallit? He was in Sling Blade. I forget what else he was in. I thought he was in Friday Night Lights. He is in the movie Friday Night Lights as well. Who gives a fuck about Lucas Black?
Does he show up in the other ones? Because the only one of these I've ever seen is the one where the guy died before it, and then I went to see it in the theater because I wanted to see how they put him into it.
Yeah.
Paul Walker.
I was like, the guy died before it? I was like, who's the guy who died before it?
I think you're talking about Fast 7 or Furious 7, I believe that one was called.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you saw 7.
So does this dude show up?
He has not shown up again in a movie until 9. Spoilers. Nicole, I look forward to getting to 9 with you in 6 weeks because 9 features almost everyone we'll have seen in all these movies. 9 is like Connection Island, third beat of a Harold night. It's like, they're just like, guess who also is here? They're like, and they're doing time jumps, so they're back in the past and establishing young versions of characters we love. You'll see.
Wait, young versions? Are they like CGI-ing them younger?
You'll see it. And also, short answer, yes.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Wait till you see young Vince.
Oh, boy. Oh, Vince is in it?
Of course, young Vince. All right, let's get to Fast 3.
Wow.
Tokyo Drift. Fast and the Furious 3:2. Tokyo Drift. Nangle, thank you so much for diving in here in the first of the movies that feature neither of the two guys that made the first movie popular.
I was so mad.
Imagine a third Wayne's World with just like David Spade and Tim Meadows. You're like, love these guys, but why is this called Wayne's World? Just call this movie Tokyo Drift.
I mean, truly, it didn't need to be the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. It was written by Chris Morgan, who I think just typed into his computer and said, I have a movie, and didn't reread it or like ask people if this made sense.
Ended up becoming a big architect later on. He's like still part of the Fast family, Chris Morgan.
Oh.
And then it's also, while we're on this topic, it's directed by Justin Lin, who's hot off Better Luck Tomorrow, that MTV Films cool Asian dude movie from when we were in high school, or I was in high school. I'm still spent the last 10 years of my life pretending I have no idea how old you two are. when I was in high school, when you guys were in junior high, their movie came out called Better Luck Tomorrow. That was kind of Justin Lin's, and Sung Kang, who plays Han, and a couple of the other actors from this movie were also in it. And so I think Tokyo Drift is his, like, you got this great Sundance movie, let's give you a big budget movie. And then he puts Han in it, who ends up being this like important, beautiful heart of the rest of the movies, as you'll learn. He's like a fan favorite character, and as you can see in this movie, he doesn't do much in this movie, and this is his biggest role.
He does
in all the films
in this movie.
Yes, and it's his biggest role, and he's everyone's favorite. He literally eats snacks, like he just pops chips and corn nuts in his mouth in every movie that he's in. It's his thing. And I'm here for it. He's just a handsome, nice flavor.
He's handsome, yeah.
He's so hot. Yeah. Everybody in this movie was pretty hot. It was honestly delightful. Han was hot. Takashi was hot. Neela was hot, but also I was like worried about her. I was like, is
Neela
she okay?
Neela stresses me out watching. I mean, she's only the third or fourth woman we see offer herself as a prize amongst men competing. But her whole vibe is like, when I came here from Australia, everyone hated me. And now the mafia likes me. And you're like, wait, hun, you can do better than this.
Yeah, you can just have nice girlfriends. You don't have to hang out with the mob.
There's That's only two ways to do it. No friends or mob bitch. Or mob teen. I'm sorry, mob teen. She's a mob teen.
All right, yeah,
they all are. They're all mob teens.
Mm-hmm.
That literally committing murder to each other, and they're all in high school in this
killing
movie.
Each other with no repercussions. Like, nobody gives a shit. The cops even just go, we don't, if they go too fast, we don't go after them, which I thought was fully insane.
What a great setup for this movie. It's like, once you hit 140, no one bothers you. It's like, might as well just turn to the camera and go, so we can just drive like assholes for the whole movie and no one will bother us? And it's like, yeah, you got it. 40 minutes left. Keep laughing, hon.
Or that happened afterwards. They made the movie and then someone was like, why didn't they get pulled over by the cops? And they're like, all right, give us 2 days. And then
yeah,
they film that.
One shoot. Yeah. They pick up that one scene and unlocks the whole film for them.
I don't know if Justin Lin meant to do this, but it might have been the funniest thing I've ever seen. So when they're drifting, Neela is explaining this like sad story and like the car is just drifting around and they're like kind of sliding in the car and she's like, yeah, I'm so sad.
It was yes. And
drifting
she says something
being played like Dirty Dancing is such a weird energy where it's like
that's exactly what it was.
They're like
very
falling
dirty
in love while
energy.
Smoking their fucking transmission.
And he kind of loses his mind because she says something like, you know, when you're driving, everything else disappears. And he looks at her like, she's the only person that gets me, even though their entire world is all people who only want to drive.
He's only been friends with drivers. The only other person we've seen him interact with, which we should talk about that opening scene.
This, oh, my God.
The
okay,
thing
yeah.
I remember most about this movie is the older brother from Home Improvement. Racing Lucas Black through a fucking like a pre-established like a neighborhood that is being built. I had not seen that before in a movie, and it was so fucking fun in this movie.
It was so wild because they were like, we're going to race. And then somebody opens a door to like a construction site.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's where we're racing. And I was like, this is so convenient.
What if it wasn't being built? What if it was being torn down? What if it was a suburban development that they were removing?
Well, then he shouldn't have gotten in any trouble. He just helped speed through the process for free.
Before we get into the actual plot, we have to do the Toretto Gazzetto.
Oh, right. Let's do a little Toretto Gazzetto where we hit you with some Fast and the Furious franchise news, trying to keep this podcast topical.
Yes. Zoom, zoom, zoom. After impressive box office run, F9. I can't believe the movie is called F9.
Yeah, F9 just a button on a keyboard. It's like the sequel to Shift.
That really got me. The sequel to Shift. Well, okay, so now it's available on to rent and VOD services. It earned $620 million in theaters worldwide. Jesus Christ. That's so much money. Yeah, and it only premiered in June. Yeah, June 25th.
It was like the first post-pandemic movie, you know, so I feel like it had a little juice and it had a lot of people coming out, but also a beloved franchise that makes millions of dollars with every movie, so it makes sense. And Fast 9 was fun as fuck.
I can't wait to get to it. I've been saving it. I was going to go see it, but then I was like, well, gotta watch it anyway for the little podcast.
Yes, that would be so fun that the first time you watch it is for this. You're gonna
wait, Nicole,
that.
Are you watching them in order?
Yes. So, okay, Christine, this is what happened. I, for years, said, I love Fast and the Furious. I've seen all the movies. They're my favorite. They're all my friends. And then watched the first one, was like, yeah, my friends reunited. I watched the second one. I was like, I've never laid eyes on this. And then I was like, wait, I think I gaslit myself. I think I skipped from the first one to the seventh one and was just like, yeah, all the people I don't remember, whatever. But they're all my friends.
So. During the first episode, we were like talking about it. I'm like, and the second one doesn't even have Vin Diesel. You were like, it doesn't? And I'm like, have you ever seen these movies? And you were like, I've been lying to myself for a decade. I haven't seen any of this shit.
They're also
Hobbs
different.
But I've seen Hobbs and Shaw. Listen, you know, she's all over the place. But okay, so this opening scene, I fucking love it. Because the kid from Home Improvement's girlfriend is like, whoever wins gets me. And I'm like, you fucking slut. What do you mean?
I appreciate that the movie gives the woman the agency to offer herself up as the object of prize and not just the guys deciding it without her. But this is still not the feminist moment we're thinking it is, where she's like, and the prize goes, I'd be like, if I'm her boyfriend or even the other guy, I'm going, okay, I'll raise him, but I don't, that's not the way I want to go on a date with a chick, is winning her like the claw machine.
And then later, when Home Improvement isn't going fast enough or whatever, she says, I thought you loved me. I thought you said you loved
yes!
me.
Yes, that was so funny. I thought you loved me. I watched this with my friend and then my friend's daughter's friend. And we were like, Ava, you can't act like that girl. Like, don't do what she
does.
That's
not how people act. Please.
Yeah, she's like 12, and it's like, that's not how hot adults act. That's just a fantasy.
I looked this up because I was curious. Like, because when I think of these movies, I also think there are adult men directing these and lighting them and like miking up these girls and putting
There's
on the makeup
like
and everything.
300 adult men off camera in every one of these shots.
It's insane. And so I was like just looking up on IMDb, and the girl who says that is older. She's 2 years. No, she's 4 years older than the guy that plays Sean. So she's like 30 in this movie.
Oh,
she's
wow.
like 28 or 30.
She's 30
playing
Home Improvement's
girlfriend. Because I was like, oh my God, this like teenage girl.
Maybe they were just like, well, we can't have minors giving their bodies up to men. So we got to make sure she's very old.
Oh hey, the movie's not that creepy. All the chicks offering up their bodies to the winner of car races are 27, okay? Oh, but, good work, guys.
I mean, we've said it before, but like that's as sexual as this movie really got. Like these movies are not sexy in any way.
I was very happy to unpack this series with you, Byer, from that perspective alone, because it's so PG-13 sexual. Yes. It's like, it's so blockbuster movie sexual, uh-huh, where it's like, ba 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 ba. See butt cheeks walking in to like a carimba, Caribbean beat, and then it's like, and that's what sex is in this movie.
And that's all you get. But I felt like it's more like, I feel like it's more sexual with like the relationship with the cars.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're filmed like the shots are the same. Like the way they film the women and they pan across the women in slow motion is the exact same way that they reveal the cars and the guys like leaning on the cars. And like the way that like men walk with like two girls on their arms is like they're standing in between two cars. Mm-hmm. It's like this movie might as well be cars riding women like through the streets.
Eliminate the middleman. Let's just watch the cars like cars. Yeah.
The car's like, let's race our women. The winner gets me.
The car. Is the car the prize or the competitor? Both. Who's the judge? A woman. Also the prize. Okay, please unpack this for me.
So, okay. So what's his name? His name's Sean. So Sean flips Clay's Dodge Viper over, which is a very expensive car.
He may have, he easily could have killed two high school kids in this movie. Yes.
And everyone's just watching it via their flip phones. And
so many shots of flip phones filming something. And I was like, damn, there's 2 years where this happens in movies and we're watching one of them.
Uh-huh. And it's so funny to me because I'm like, yeah, we do record a lot on our phones, but it looks so stupid with a flip phone.
Yeah. And we do it even more now. Like, and it looked that dumb back then, and we've only picked it up bigger as a habit.
I loved his mom, who was like maybe a month older than him,
right?
Who was wearing this, like, she was dressed like, it was like, this lady lives in a trailer park and she's trash, and she's like, he just keeps getting in trouble, what do we have to do? And they're like, keep him off the streets. So she sends him to Tokyo because he's in the Navy.
Because his dad, the baby daddy, is in the Navy and
in Tokyo. And I'm maybe stupid. Is the U.S. Navy in Tokyo?
The U.S. Navy could be a lot of places, which is kind of a bad thing about America.
There's a base there.
Well, we have bases in a lot of other countries, and even under the guise of allies.
There's no mention of Tokyo. Like, he doesn't have a Tokyo thing in his room, or like he doesn't miss his dad. It comes so out of nowhere. And the thing about his mom is, I might have been projecting this, but it seemed like she was kind of flirting with the cop a little bit. And he rolls his eyes when he sees that. But I'm like, dude, you were just about to take a girl as a prize for a car race, but you're mad at your mom for flirting with a cop trying to get you out of jail.
Onto something. So maybe the mom maybe she's a sex worker, because later we see the dad with a sex worker.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they're hinting at that the mom at least has like a rough go with men, and but she is cute and charming and will use her feminine wiles to help her son. The crazy thing for me is when they reveal, it's like, this is the fifth town we've had to leave, and it's like, I think you send this motherfucker to Tokyo on the second town. I think you go, hey, Kevin, or whatever the fuck your name is, fucking around with your car in Tokyo. Your son is coming now, not like on the fifth high school we try. But he killed another two high school. He paralyzed two more high school kids. He better go to fucking Tokyo and spend his time with you.
But I was like, why is that an option? Why didn't he go to jail? Why didn't he go to, like, why wasn't he tried as an adult? He flipped a car and almost murdered a child.
Something that happens in all these movies, too, is people agree to these insane races, but they edit out the part where anyone would articulate what exactly is supposed to happen, because you would be like, hey, and no cutting through back alleys and driving through houses. It's like, yeah, you never said that. And it's like, later on when they're doing the fucking parking garage race, it's like,
oh boy,
how does he know exactly what
exactly
to do?
Exactly where to go. Yeah. Oh, it's nuts. So Sean gets to Tokyo, and he befriends Twinkie, played by Little Bow Wow, which is so funny.
He arrives in Japan
person named
and meets
Bow Wow,
and he meets a local native played by Shad Moss. Lil Bow Wow.
Shad Moss is Twinkie. That's the dumbest sentence I've ever heard.
He's got so much more charisma than the lead character.
Yes, he does.
He brings such a relief. I mean, him and Han entering this movie, and even the bad guys, they bring so much energy, and you're like, oh, God bless, and you're like, oh, it's because Sean is bringing, he's bringing less energy than Vin Diesel, which is a race to the fucking bottom, and that's crazy. I mean, he must have watched the movies and been like, the trick is to not move or have energy. And
to just give the deadest line reads.
Just be like, because I felt like, especially with the beginning scene in the high school where it's a home improvement kid, he was great, I thought, as like a teen bully. But it kind of just was like a 13-year-old boy's brain was writing this movie, which is like, I'm the outsider. He's mean. He's big. He has the girl, but the girl likes me and wants me, and I'm going to race my car, but I'm poor and he's rich, and that's, he's going to have all the breaks and I'm not going to have any. And like, it's kind of like a little bit of like an incel type world, but it's kind of, it's so literal. It's such like a literal thing. But the girl secretly likes me, even though she's with him.
She likes me because I'm a cowboy and no other reason. It's like the most written by the dorkiest American man.
There's no
who's like,
reason.
I could show up to Tokyo and make any gaijin fall in love with me because of my cocky stature. It's like, really? Okay.
No, it's because you're the only white guy there, and they're fetishized. And then, of course, like the love interest, like they can't even make her Japanese. Like, I thought that was
really
strange.
So weird to me. I was like, why isn't she just Japanese? Like, why are there so many outsiders here? It should just be just him. Just him.
Yes, that would make a stronger story, of course. Or another outsider and them two connect, but they don't even get the real connection chance because it's already the fifth beat. When they finally go like, hey, we're both outsiders, they've already like almost kissed and gotten almost killed three times.
Yeah,
it's like, no one cares that much. And also, it's a third movie of a trilogy, but it is the first time we're seeing this guy. We do not give a fuck about his love life.
Right.
Like, if you're coming to Fast 3, you're like, if it's not Brian and Brian and Mila, if it's not fucking Paul Walker and Jordana Brewster, you don't need to create love for me. I'm here to see a Fast and the Furious movie.
And I feel like they cast Neela because she kind of looks like Jordana Brewster
or
Michelle Rodriguez. Lenny.
Yeah, Michelle. Exactly.
So they're just like, or Eva Mendes. Like, they were just like, she kind of looks like them. This is good. You like this?
They're like, we figured out the formula. It's like a white, handsome guy who can't act with like a person of color who can act, and we jam them together in a movie. And this one will do Asian, and we tried black, and we tried Vin Diesel, so now we'll try Asian, and it's like, we'll shake it. They'll figure it out. Event the fourth movie. The fourth movie is like, they're just like, it's like a native, and they're going like, as we're like, this will work. And it's like,
does
guys,
Twinkie
guys.
Ever come back in the movies?
He never comes back until, much like Lucas Black, he doesn't come back till episode 9, baby.
This is so funny.
When he showed up, I was like, oh, Lil Bow Wow's in this. And I was looking at IMDb. I was like, oh, Shad Moss. Oh, my God. I'm fucking racist. Like, I thought that was Lil Bow Wow. Oh, fuck. Oh, God. He looks so much like Lil Bow Wow. No, and I'm sitting here by myself watching it. I'm like, all right. Well, no one could fault me for thinking he looks like Lil Bow Wow. He does look like Lil Bow Wow. But who the fuck is Shad Moss? And I, like, looked and I, in the thing, like, whatever I was reading his bio, it doesn't say Lil Bow Wow for a while. And it doesn't have it in quotes. It's not bolded. It's not underlined. But I thought he was, like, one of the best parts of the movie.
He's very charismatic. And then he has the wildest car I've ever seen in my whole life.
Yeah, he's got like the Hulk truck that has like paw prints on the walls,
like,
or whatever,
a
on the door.
Prints and fists. It's so nuts. And then in Japan, I like, that was a fun little
the garage
car thing. Yeah,
yeah,
the little circle. I was like, I want that. That's fun.
That was some, like, Jay Leno probably has that shit. Hey, look at this. Yeah, you know, my garage spins cars around. Hey.
Hand crank. It would be cool to have that on a hand crank.
I would never get my car if I had to use manual labor to get it. Well, I don't have a car anymore.
It would be sick to have one of those things so you can have, like, one dead, like, a dud corny car in case someone was coming up to, like, rob you. Or you were, and then, like, the vibe is off and you're like, oh, here's my minivan. And then if the vibe is right, you just push it for a little bit further and your fucking amazing Mitsubishi Lancer or whatever comes out.
Your brain works in an amazing way, Gabrus.
You hit a bug, they're getting laid. You know, movies have ruined my brain where it's like, all right, you're racing to save a chick that you're in love with, or else the mob is going to cut her head off in front of you because you're new.
Why'd you kill him? He was new.
Like, if you're the mob's, if by the end of this movie, if you're Tekashi, you're like, wait, uncle, why are you making this deal?
It's so insane. It makes zero sense when he's like, we're going to race. And he's like, good idea. And you're like, wait, what? But this first race in the garage
right.
is so nuts.
This is where we like, learn what the drift is.
Yeah, but I was like, I've never been in a garage where it's this empty. Nobody's shopping. Nobody's utilizing this garage. It was. Then
why
there
won't
so
you
many...
utilize this garage, people?
What if they were doing this during COVID times where people were eating, like tables were set up in parking garages?
Yeah,
garage.
Luca to... DiPeppo in the parking garage, fucking car, fishtails, and
so
takes
upset.
Your fucking chicken parm away.
Enjoying my spaghetti and meatballs, and someone just slams into me. But for whatever reason, Han gives Sean his car.
Yeah.
And it's never explained.
It's not.
And Sean fucks this car up.
Wait, let's unpack a little bit. I think you're like, Bayer, you're at something interesting here. They try to articulate it later on in the movie. This is something I didn't remember watching this movie. And the way they articulate it later is like, I looked at you and I knew you were like a good person. It's like,
yes.
Why? We the audience don't even know you.
Because
guys.
And also they didn't. He didn't even to use a screenwriting term. Save the cat. Like that boy was getting bullied earlier.
Yeah.
And he looked at him and you thought, okay, this guy's gonna help this kid who's getting mm-hmm. his belly spray painted or whatever. And then he turned and walked away. Yeah, so they didn't set him up as a good person who sticks up for other people. But Han knew.
Han knew.
Somehow Han knew. And it was so strange. And
he's like waiting for him outside of high school. Imagine being like like any level of 20-something and you're like, all right, you're a gangster now. It's like, cool, what do you do? Well, if you want to hang outside the high school and pick up this senior who we want to add to our crew, imagine, like, that's what this movie is missing is when they're driving away, that kid just going, wait, you want me to go in? I'm a 16-year-old American. You want me to go into a Japanese bathhouse and drag out a fucking sumo wrestler?
I mean, that made me laugh so hard. That and, so Tekashi's known as DK. The Drift King. And I can't remember who said it, but they were like, Donkey Kong?
Oh, yeah, Sean. But why would it be English acronym?
Yeah, like, why is he DK Drift King?
Yeah. That, I mean, yes, Christina, the logic. Yes,
he's the Dairy King.
Now, isn't it funny that drifting, like, it's not drifting isn't driving fast or something. It is something that just looks cool. So the fact that it's integral to racing in this race is very funny. Like, if you don't learn that, it's like, well, it is just driving in a circle, really.
Yeah.
You don't have to drift.
It's but like it's, hitting your brakes before a curve and just,
yeah.
like, like, almost stopping, but then... Like, I guess you have to hit your clutch and then, like, shift back into second. But, like, it doesn't seem like... It's just hitting a curve. That's
and
what
like, are there judges, like, in gymnastics where you're watching and making sure there's, like, you're doing enough yeah. drifting?
Bad
like
curve! Bad drift! Real quick, we have to take a break. If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data. Protect your online identity by hiding your IP address and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto connect for zero click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, and we're back.
Drifting is like using the L and R buttons in Mario Kart, right? It's kind of like a way to like skid out further. Uh-huh. So it's just like leaning on the right button. And I like that they treat drifting in this movie like martial arts or like Jedi. Like once it's happening, it looks real. When it slows down and women are into it, like women are like, whoa, he pulled his e-brake and skidded around us in the road. It's like, give him your number, Gladys.
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 There's something about like I just like the where I grew up. I just can't relate to this culture at all. Like nobody had cars. Like we didn't like you didn't drive to high school. You took the bus. Like you weren't allowed. We didn't even have any outdoor space that we were allowed to hang out.
Really? Like even as a senior, you had to take the fucking bus.
Well, the alternative was you had to be able to afford a car. And then there was like a very small parking lot. And also the neighborhood I went to school was really bad.
Yes.
I didn't get my driver's license until I was 21 because couldn't afford the insurance, but also just like I didn't need it. Like we had public transportation was really good. But around where I live now, I live in West Adams, there's so much drag racing at night. And it makes me so crazy. It's so loud.
The calls out there winning pink slips every fucking Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, I have 36 fucking cars in my driveway stacked right on top of another.
Handing them out to people like their fucking podcast swag.
You get a car. Wait, I want to come to your neighborhood and let's go to a drag race.
Well, it's kind of like it just happens. It like if it's either fireworks or drag racing and it doesn't make any sense. There's a guy who has this car and he's always cleaning it. I don't think he has a job, but he has a U.S. Marines sticker mm-hmm. and he's like in his 50s. And I always like say hi to him when I'm walking the dog or whatever. And he just kind of seems like a sad kind of guy to me. So I'm like, oh, this car is all he has. And he's always cleaning it. And I'm always saying, ah, you're making me feel bad about my car. You know, nice little friendship. And then I realize he's one of the guys that's doing it. It is so loud. It is the loudest car. I think, like, I don't believe in the death penalty except for people who make their vehicles louder on purpose.
Yeah. What kind of car is it? Useless. Do you know?
No, it's yellow. I don't know.
Low. So it's a taxi?
It's low and yellow.
It's crazy taxi. What a nightmare. Wait, so back to this opening mall race, the race that gets Han and our main character connected and gets Takashi mad, and we meet the love interest Via. Wouldn't you feel insane if you didn't know anyone and you smashed a car? Like the fact that yes. he like fishtails into something, if that happened to me, I would get out of the car and be like, oh my God, I cannot believe I'm acting like that. He takes five more fucking rounds. He's like, well, this is car culture where I'm from. It's like, brother, you're borrowing someone's car. You just lose the race. You can't just smash it up
The first lose. Time, yeah. I absolutely would be like, I'm so sorry.
I thought I could do it. I can't. What the fuck was I thinking, hon? Here is your keys.
But he also almost kills people. Like, he slides. Like, people are running away from him. And truly, every time he hits something, he's like, oh, boy. Ah, jeez. Whoa, no. Oh, babe. Oh, boy. Oh, no. And it's fully, the scene is insane. But Takashi, he gets up there, he drifts up a ramp, and then Sean, like, scratches the whole car up the ramp. It's truly insane.
But when you're watching it, you think, you know, I think Sean's going to get better at this. Yeah. Really? Yeah. I think he's going to get
it. If Han takes him to the dock and really works with him on drifting, someday he'll be able to come back and win the girlfriend of the mobster's nephew out from underneath him.
Yeah.
Got it? I mean, that's the stakes of this film? Got it.
Yeah. The strangest stakes in the world. So Sean leaves. So he lives in a closet in his dad's house, like Harry Potter, moves out of the closet, and then moves in with Han. Han teaches him how to drift as, like, everyone else at the garage. It's not even a garage. It's like a warehouse. They, like, all sit around, and he's like,
it's
again.
Like a crime den / mechanic shop / something. I don't know.
With, like, women, girls who are attracted to mechanic things. It's really confusing.
I have no idea. It's so strange. And then he takes him to that fucking place. He, like, the big man throws him out. This confused me. So he sent him to a bathhouse to say something to that big fat man with a bad tattoo. The man throws him out, but then pays Han.
Yeah. This is one of those classic, like, hey, you got to go collect money from Paw. And then he's like, okay, will do. I'm new to the job. And it's like, this is going to be pretty funny. Me and Paw kind of fuck with new guys this way. Or so. It makes no sense. The fact that they cut to him inside trading in all his clothes for a towel, which makes sense in that culture,
yes,
but makes no sense for him to do that for the first time, to not, and then when he gets thrown out, for him to be in his street clothes
in
means
so
that
much
Paul,
of his clothing. I'm like, how?
Paul's fighting him, putting his dress pants back on him, his school uniform. He's taking, so according to the way the logic of this movie, what we don't see inside is a high school kid say to a giant sumo wrestler guy, hey, asshole, you owe Han money. And this guy go, fuck you, kid. And then forcefully dress him back into his own dress clothes. Pull his towel off, put his underwear and pants on, put his shirt on, and then throw a high school boy into the street. I'm just saying,
I mean,
that's what happens in that sequence.
They should have filmed it. That's so funny. Because it's exactly what would have happened. Because he is fully dressed when he gets thrown out.
He's doing that thing you do with a toddler where he's like pulling his pants up and he has to jump.
Yeah, he's like throwing him into it. He's like yoking him up. He's like over his arms. He's like, let's go, you little freak.
Give me your arm. Give me your arm.
He throws him out twice and then throws Han some money and we're supposed to be like, they're bonding. What are they? It's like that money is for child sex trafficking. It's like, we're buddies now.
So then Sean asks Neela out on a date, and then Takashi gets mad at him, and then Neela moves in with Han and Sean after breaking up with Takashi. And I was like, how does Han have all of this space?
It's crazy that there's a Dawson's Creek level high school drama happening on top of this Japanese Yakuza car racing movie.
Yeah, it's really, really
insane.
To
live with you. Fine. Don't tell Pacey. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
So I did a bunch of fast forwarding. Is it ever explained?
Fast and Furious forwarding?
Even though clearly this movie was meant for me, a feminist comedy writer, but like what, of indeterminate age. Is there something involved like drugs or gun running or drugs or anything? Like what is the, why?
Okay, so now this is kind of from a looking at all 10 movies standpoint, this is the first time we see the crime's not really being explained because our heroes are technically criminals. Like we're watching Han and Sean, we're supposed to be on their side. So if they find out that they're giving, like if the premise of the movie is like, and then we give the heroine to the children, like they can't, like, because we're supposed to be rooting for them. And then later on in the movies, it's like repackaged that they're like working for the American government or CIA or doing something heroic every time. But in this, so they do that thing where they're like, they're vaguely in crime so that you hope it's like catalytic converters and not like getting kids hooked on meth as babies or whatever.
I'll tell you what, it's getting people addicted to gasoline and that addiction. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
yes.
We should have said speed. The drug is speed.
Exxon executives fucking love the Fast and Furious franchise. Vin Diesel is a Amco plant sent down.
Honestly, it just occurred to me how perfect it is that a man named Vin Diesel is in car movies.
I cannot believe
it took me this long.
Literally, his last name is Diesel, a type of gas, and his first name is the acronym for vehicle identification number.
And the person that died, his last name was Walker.
Yeah. Oh no.
He didn't belong.
Who that got me, Christine? That was very funny. He didn't belong. So then we get to meet Takashi's uncle, Kamata?
Kamata, played by Sonny Chiba, who's like a Japanese acting legend. He's so good.
He's incredible. We get to see him in this white ensemble. And I don't think I've smiled harder or been happier to see a person on my television. He is great. He is incredible. He doesn't really explain anything well, except that Han has been stealing from them. But stealing what? We don't know. Maybe money?
He's been taking a higher percentage than he's supposed to. He's leaving stuff out of the books. Classic movie shit of just like, hey, something we've never mentioned before is actually different than we thought it was. And it affects the plot of the movie. But don't worry about what it was before or what it is now. Just be concerned that things are different now.
I like that the stakes are...
I'm an audience member.
Yeah. The stakes are accounting. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's like not cool. It's like,
well, because Han can't do anything too bad because we want to love him. Mm-hmm. And if it's like, well, he's a criminal, he should die in a fiery car wreck or whatever, you know?
So Takashi cries. He's like really upset that like he did bad. And I was like, I mean, I think you're taking this too hard. Also, you're like in the mob, so like be a badass, but whatever. He like confronts Han, Sean, and Neela about the thefts, and then they flee with Twinkie, who causes a distraction. And then,
oh, this is fun. Let's talk about that escape, because that's really fun. Twinkie is like sneaks off, and what he does is shut the garage doors, aka trap the bad guys in with them.
Yes.
But it does land on one car, but everyone is also able to get into their cars.
Uh-huh.
And then this is our Tokyo street race.
Yes.
Where they drift through a crowd of people where they should have killed
even think he was like on his horn. I think he was truly just going, move, move. And I was like, nobody sees you. Nobody sees you doing that.
And the amount of eye contact drivers in these movies can make with somebody else while going 110. Like, I mean, I know we're shooting a film, so we got to see their eyes, what they're doing. But it's and the Nicole, you're more of a driver, and obviously Nangle just recently was able to purchase a car for the first time.
Yeah. Congratulations. For the very first time.
I just got my driver's license 3 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
But Bayer, you're a car driver. How many gears can you actually go up? Because it always feels like, wait, they had another gear to
it?
It's like, guy, how fast are you going in third?
Only six. Yes. There's first, second, third, fourth, fifth, six. Yeah, I think there's
six
only six.
Six is the
gears.
Highest you can go. And then it's like they're always doing one more to like cut each other off.
But
like,
I will say this, if you slow down, you do have to downshift.
Ah, so they're doing a lot of downshifting on the drifts and then popping it back in on the undrifts.
I actually think so. Yes, I think that's what it would be.
Should we should we post an Instagram story of the two of us in my Volkswagen station wagon doing drifts in the beach parking lot?
I honestly think we should.
I think we should. HeadGum, no, guys, can you cover the insurance?
The winner gets me.
Me and Nicole just flip both our cars, and Angle's like, wait, how do I even get home from this drag race?
Nobody
I should have packed
me.
Another change of clothes.
I want a drag race. You can't really drag race in like an automatic.
I don't know.
It's just stamping the fucking gas, right?
Yeah.
Like if it's a straight line.
Like that's not fun. Yeah. I wonder if people do it. If anybody
people
listening
in the
knows,
if you did
let
that,
us know if people can drag race in an automatic.
I hope so, because then people in the neighborhood can sleep because it's not as fucking loud as regular drag racing.
Let's do only electric drag racing at night.
Yes,
so it's just
Priuses.
It's just two.
It's weird though. I always assumed. I remember when this movie came out. I assumed it took place in the snow. Like, I thought it had something to do with snow. So I was very surprised.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And also, I always think about the little Japanese snow monkeys that, like, sit in the little spas, like the little hot tubs. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Wait, Japanese snow monkeys?
Yeah.
Japanese.
Look it up.
That's nice.
Look it up. It's worth it.
They sit in, like, little hot springs, and then they look so relaxed and cute. And the first thing I did when the tsunami happened was I looked up, are the Japanese snow monkeys okay? And it auto-filled. Like, so many people were Googling
Other
that
Other people
question.
Had that concern as well. That's really funny.
Wait, they're okay. Adorable.
Shouldn't they have been in this movie? Like, something. But then I was just thinking, like, Drift also made me think, like, this should have been about cocaine or something, like drugs in some way. Or maybe it was.
It might have been about drugs. We just don't know.
And the only stakes were like not getting in trouble from your mom and dad, and somehow also not pissing off your uncle.
Well, what if this movie was like, you know, when like they released Clue and they changed the endings?
Yeah.
What if this movie is like whenever you went to see it, they changed what the business was or like what country it was in. It was like, what are they the mob? They're the mob about what?
I watch it at the Belmore Playhouse on Long Island. So it's about Italian ices and it's like 80 yard in. It's like, Hans,
get the Italian ices.
Get the water ice.
Water ice, yes. Thank you. I was about to correct you.
You guys call it water ice?
In Pennsylvania area, yeah, it's called water ice. Makes no sense.
But isn't that just like an icy with like the shaved ice and the syrup? Isn't that water ice?
Icy, slurpy. It's called a lot of things, but Italians call it Italian ice.
I think Italian ice. Yeah, Italian ice makes the most sense. Water ice doesn't make any sense.
No, those are two.
There's
water
a place
ice
here,
yeah.
Gabriel, that, we're all East Coast people. It's called Happy Ice, and it's like genuine East Coast Italian ice, and it's good.
Oh, shit. I have like 5 Italian ice places in my hometown, and there's no way that they should all be sustainable through the winter and through COVID. It's like they're clearly fronts for other things. It's like, how is there Ralph's, Luigi's, and Mario's all within a mile and a half of each other, and they've been open for 40 years unbroken? It's like every Christmas it's open.
They all have the same uncle.
It's so funny. Wait, so at the end of this big tent pole fucking race, there's like, well, I guess the last race is also pretty big, but like Han tries to hold Takashi off. Also, Takashi's friend, whose name I can't pronounce, Morimoto, he gets murdered. He's killed in the crash. And then fucking Han gets T-boned, and then his car fucking flips over more times than I've ever seen a car flip. And then it lands upside down. And then Sean's like, oh, I'll go get my friend. And then it explodes.
Yes, it does. Yes,
I did not see that coming. I thought Han was important to the story, and I've heard his name before, so I was like, surely he'll get out. And then he doesn't.
If you watch this movie without the context of other movies, it's brutal that they introduce and kill Han in this movie because he's so much more magnetic than the leads of the movie before he's introduced. And you're like, I don't give a fuck about anyone. Sung Kang comes on camera and you go, I give a fuck about this guy. And then they kill him.
They just kill him right off.
And luckily, imagine, like, he should have been the American. Like, I looked him up. He was born in, like, Georgia or something. Yeah. Like, imagine if the movie was he was the American who got sent to back to Tokyo to, like, be with his dad or something.
See, that would be nice. But you have to remember that, you know, movie executives are like, he can't be Asian if he's from America. Nobody will get it.
Well, he can't be the lead if he's Asian also, if we're talking early 2000s
Guys,
Hollywood.
I know this. I'm just hoping for a better past.
Well, something that makes this thrilling for to give you a little flavor and get you excited, because of the fuzzy timelines, the movies 5 and 6 actually take place before this.
What?
So that when we watch 5 and 6, that there's a sequence later on where Han's Han's girlfriend goes, "Where do you want to go after this?" And he goes, "Tokyo, but not yet." Because we all know he dies in Tokyo, which also later on becomes untrue. Buckle the fuck up for the next several episodes, fam. Yes, I cannot wait for you to learn. I will off mic break it down for both of you guys, but I think I'll break it down for Nangle, because I think I'd rather the audience would love for you to experience it unfolding.
Wait, so
over
5 and 6 happened before 3.
I'm not even sure about 4. 4 is the one I'm the least versed in. When we go to watch 4 next week, will be the second or third time I've ever seen it.
Wow. This feels like it's the worst spelling thing. Like 5 before 6, except after 3. Yeah.
This is Please Excuse My Dear Aunt Sally of the Fast and Furious franchise.
I do remember, like, now that you're saying this, I recall when I saw this, I guess 7, I remember them saying, he knew Han, and that being enough
for something. I've heard Han's name. I've heard it a bunch. I just thought it was a character that I forgot about. No. Instead, it's a character I never knew about.
Let's, like, have a little side part of this show called the Han Tracker, where we just track what is actually how Han's storyline keeps changing to keep this surprisingly amazing. Like, I feel like they were like, oh, it'd be fun to have this guy for the movie. And then everyone's like, he actually is the best actor we've ever put in the series.
He is a really good actor. He does a lot with a little.
That's why I think he gets all these retcons, because it is, if you're putting Tyrese in the next couple of movies, when they bring Tyrese, Paul, Vin, and everyone back together, it's like, this could actually use Han. So they're just creating.
They're like, all right, we'll use Han.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he all burned up in 9? Is he all, like, scarred and burned?
No. You'll find out what happens. It's so fun that it just changes, like, so frequently. I can't believe that they pulled off with this. It's like comic book level, but with 4 allegedly just people who drive cars.
I can't wait to get to it. I just can't believe that the timeline jumps through. They really did whatever the fuck they wanted with these movies, and people were like, yes, I will still watch this. It's crazy. They did a third movie where none of the stars of the first two were in it. And people were like, yeah, sure, I'll still go see it.
Crazier than that is that America went and saw this movie and then they got a fourth. Like, it's like, oh, honestly, it's just the phrase Fast and Furious that people seem to like. It's like,
yeah, maybe.
There's also movies I knew just because I was searching to find this on Apple TV or whatever called Fast and Fierce. There's like a whole series of movies called that, which feels like it's like
trick
Marshmallow Mateys instead of, it's like the bargain cereal.
Yeah, there's like a whole production company called Asylum Films who make like Transmorphers that come out, and it's like at the same time as Transformers. They're
really?
Hopefully you just Google wrong, or like hopefully you're a mom who's like, or a deadbeat dad who's just like, here, I got you a Pokemon. No, I want a Pokemon. It's like, well, watch Pokemon. It's fucked up and twisted.
We could have been watching it because the stars didn't show up. It's like, we could have been like, did we accidentally go into Fast and Furious?
it's like how one of the lead singer of the band Journey is formerly the cover band, is like a Filipino guy who's formerly in a famous cover band of Journey or something like that.
Is it like that?
Yeah, and I it's one. It's a
Nicole's
lot like
face.
That.
I don't know. I think I know one Journey song, and I think it's the one where they ask you to stop believing.
Yes, they ask you to actually never
don't stop believing. Yeah.
Please stop believing in everything. Become a fucking nihilist. Please stop.
At least they're polite about it.
Please stop believing. It's really funny.
I couldn't remember how it
just
went.
Just in general. Just
please stop believing me.
Just in stuff in general.
Real quick. We have to take another break.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
But after Han dies, Takashi literally just drives away, doesn't care that his friend is dead. Sean and Neela go back to his dad's house.
His dad saves his life with a fucking gun.
And that's the first time guns come out, right? Is this the first time we see guns in this movie?
I think so.
No, I think they have some guns in the warehouse, but they're not using them on anyone. Okay. But they are like kind of intimidating people with them. But luckily... Twinkie, did they accidentally stumble upon a slang word that would become wildly popular and mean something completely different by accident in this movie? Yes.
Sean's dad saves them. They have like a standoff, and then Neela is like, okay, everyone, stop. I'll go with Takashi. And then
if you're Sean's dad, are you like, no, don't get in the car with a gangster. Yeah. I'm a grown-up. You're all in high school. Knock this bullshit off. And I don't care who your uncle is. I'm a dad.
What if it would have been amazing if like Neela says that and then Takashi's like, it's not about you anymore, bitch.
This is like honor anything. And stuff. Who, I don't care about you.
You can leave.
It's like my friends are dead. Nobody gives a shit about
what
you.
Are
your pussy's
talk
trash.
About? What are we going
to
talk about?
Neela, I don't think we're going to prom together, hon.
She's very, I had to like go something's up with my speaker on my TV, but I had to get closer to the TV when she was talking. Cause she was like very like, when I got here, nobody believed in me. Like she's very breathy.
It wasn't
Marilyn
your
Monroe.
TV. It's they mixed it poorly.
Did
everything
they?
Okay. is so loud and she is so soft. A lot of the dialogue is really soft.
Okay, good. Good, my TV can stay.
Yeah, so, keep that TV.
They fucking the way they decide to, this is maybe the last time or one of the last times it happens in these movies where he an actual car race, not just a car chase, but like a with rules race is a plot device, because that eventually is very hard to start working into keep working into movies.
Gabrus, it was hard to work in this movie.
Yes,
Sean goes, listen, I want to race Takashi. Whoever wins, wins. And then the mob is just like, yes.
The loser leaves town and the uncle is like, fair enough. And it's like, if your uncle is the mob boss, you look at him and go, bro, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, I'm not leaving.
Just pick me your blood. Let this white dude leave.
Because the white dude isn't also, he's not infringing on any mob business. He's
right?
Not like taking some off the top at the pizza parlor. He's just there. And he kind of goes in like, I'm here to propose a peace agreement. And I'm like, oh, it's interesting. What is this? Oh, a race. Yeah, okay, a race. Here we go.
And like in honor
and it
of
has
Han
to take
or
place
something?
On a mountain.
Yeah, mountain race.
This is his mountain. This is Takashi's
no
mountain.
No one's ever
be
made it.
Be careful out there, dude. No one's ever beat him on this mountain.
Which is, it's just so wild. It's crazy.
It's
so,
a full blown 80s movie or like a 50s movie at this point. It's Greece. We're just like, we're gonna car race down the mountain. Winner gets the girl and the drug money or something.
Uh-huh.
We don't like fully know the rules.
And the respect.
But both people, high school kids, willing to die to win uh-huh. this race.
And the like when he goes in to propose the peace agreement or whatever, the Neela is in there. She's in the bar. Like, she's, like, 17. She's fully in the bar with the uncle and his friends. I think this is when she's in the bar. And then at the end of the mountain race, she gets out of the car with the uncle and his old-ass friends.
It is weird.
It's creepy.
It's really fucking strange. She's like, look, we know you're part of the prize, so drive around with these old men.
Uh-huh.
It's so crazy when Sean walks in there. He's like, I propose a race. And, like, the guy should be like, you could have left town. No one would have followed you. We don't know who you are. We don't give a fuck about you, man. What do you mean you walk? He's like, I learned Japanese this week, so I'll walk in confidently and challenge you guys to a race.
And he doesn't like want to stay. Why does he want to stay? It's not like he bought a house. Like he,
I think he wants to stay because he like found his people and he can like race cars, where in America he didn't find his people and he was racing cars.
His friend died.
I know. Well, then he has to stay for Neela, you know.
Yeah,
she's
true.
Sad and she moved here and she's drifting. I loved when he was like, I've never seen you drift.
you never asked. That's the anal of the car driving world. It's like, if you want it, you gotta just
you
know what you're
gotta
asking
just
for.
Ask for it.
And there shouldn't be instant messenger during typing class or whatever they were in
yes.
school.
Yes. Yeah.
It's irresponsible.
Select your own font instant messenger. I love that shit. It's like, oh, I
also
type in
really
cursive
loved
somehow.
This, I'm like jumping back, but when he went to class and the teacher asked him to take his shoes off and they were, I feel like the movie was like, look at this cultural difference. Isn't it wild? And I was like, honestly, we should just take off our shoes. Like, why are we walking around everywhere in our nasty shoes?
Yes.
They do play it like, yep, and welcome to the freak world of Japan.
Yeah, where truly.
They speak
so
Japanese, their language. And like, he's like, whoa, I'm so lost and confused here. It's like, his dad or someone could have done him a little bit of a favor, sending him to a Japanese language school with zero.
I hate that. That's a thing in movies that I hate when someone like ends up, usually like a young person ends up in a new situation. Like he wakes up and there's a note that says like, train leaves at 7 or whatever. And then his uniform is just there. So like you and your dad couldn't have had a 5-minute conversation the night before. Like, this is the school you're going to. This is your uniform.
Yeah, this is how trains work
just
here.
Just get on it.
Well, Christine, his dad is busy fucking sex workers and ignoring him. But also he could have woken him up. He sleeps in his closet. So as he got dressed, he could have been like, hey.
Yeah.
Train leaves at 7. Bye.
I got an early shift at the naval base in the morning. It's like, what are you doing, dude? Why do you have a pistol? You're not allowed to have a gun in Japan. You're in the Navy. You don't carry like a gun on you like an FBI agent. You can't just have a pistol on. I work as a sailor, but I also carry a pistol at home when gangsters fuck with my son, who I haven't spoken to in 15
years. Does his dad come back in 9? Is Sean's dad back in action? And
oh, I don't know. No, they're at a funeral over a gravestone crying. It's probably his dad. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea.
They're like, his dad knew Han.
He says he knew Han. He was like, family. Oh, shit. No way.
Family.
I like that they, I mean, we're jumping around a lot, but at the end, they pan up Vin Diesel's forearms like they're women's legs in a movie.
Boy, it's so funny. Oh,
that started in his hands, and they're like, what's at the end here? A sort of doughy tricep. Like,
wait, during the race, they did this insane thing where they showed the edge of the road and the trees below, like Sean is going to go off the mountain, and then he doesn't.
The POV is a camera going off the mountain. You're 100% right. I gasp, which it worked on me.
Same.
And then they reveal
also,
that it's
like,
oh,
and
almost.
I was like, oh, he was just close. He had to drift away from it.
Just a close little drift, that's all.
Well, Sean wins that race. Takashi tumbles down the hill and is banished.
And Sean
from-
has to dodge him.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Sean
yes.
wins the race so bad that he races down while Takashi's rolling, arguably being death rattled, like shook to death. And Sean's like, whoa! At the end, that dude's. And then he, like, they show him getting out, like cracking his neck, like, oh, that was brutal.
And somehow everyone on the flip phones can see all of the race from their one spot.
Oh, it's live streaming on T9 Word to everybody's phone. Do you have a Nextel? You could tune into the live stream of the race. It's a 40 meg video.
So then Sean is deemed the new Drift King, baby. Our synopsis says he enjoys his life with Twinkie, Neela, and the rest of the crew.
So something just came to me. I remember it now. Twinkie is so obviously Justin Lin creating a Asian character for that role, but them giving it to Shad Moss, because Twinkie is like an Asian derogatory term. It's like yellow on the outside, white on the inside. And it's like an expression for an Asian person who acts very white. And that just triggered. It's got to be what the original plan was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Also,
I
as the white guy on this episode, feel free to edit that out, Ferris.
Well, it would have made sense just to, like, if he was someone from there to anchor Sean to liking it there. If it's
that's
like a person
what, yeah.
who
he
was
doesn't
born
have
and
one Japanese friend who's not murdered.
Honestly, I think you're right about that. I don't think we should edit it out because I do think you're right. I think it is like a derogatory thing, but it is a person who is in Japan who, like, identifies with him enough to like be his friend and make him want to stay.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're like onto something. And then I think maybe in production they were like, we can't name an Asian person Twinkie. We can't do that.
We'll just slide Shad Moss into the Twinkie role. That'll work well.
But I gotta say, when Vin Diesel shows up, I was so excited.
Yeah.
I was like, this is somebody I know. This whole movie, I had to watch a bunch of trash to get to the treasure. And honestly, Vin Diesel, oh, he looks so good. Oh, what a sight for sore eyes.
And he's like, I used to run some missions or used to run around with Han.
Uh-huh.
He's talking about Fast 5, 6, and 7. And they haven't even talked about filming 4 at this point. And he's accidentally just saying, yeah, Han and I had some adventures. And it's like, we'll figure that out later in
that
the series. It's so,
so
fucking cool.
Funny.
It's like Babe Ruth calling his shot. He's like, yeah, and Han and I have been friends for 3 or 4 movies. You hear
do
like
you
the executives
think
go, excuse
that
me?
Was the plan? Or do you think Vin Diesel was improvising? What do you think happened?
I used to coach his improv team at Yahoo.
You can convince me of 2 things: that Vin Diesel said that and him saying that willed it into existence,
mm-hmm.
or I will also believe that Vin Diesel was like, if I'm coming back to this franchise, it's going to be a thing about family and we're going to do 9 2.5-hour movies where everything changes. Like, I believe he's business savvy enough to be like, when I come back, this shit is for real and we're making it the biggest franchise ever. Because I, he's got that sort of, hubris that only comes with a little bit lack of self-awareness that Vin Diesel brings so positively, where he's like, I've talked about this on other podcasts, but he has the football star doing the theater production that month. He has that energy where it's like, he doesn't know that he actually sucks at acting, but his charisma is so crazy that it's working on the crowd, and he's bringing star of the football team energy to our dumb high school production. And I think he accidentally brings that energy where he's like, the movies are going to be huge. It's going to be out of family, and they're going to be a $1 billion enterprise. Everyone's like, cool, yeah, car racing movies, whatever you say, Vin. It's like, holy shit, was Vin accidentally setting these dominoes up to fall 10 years down the road? There's a big gap before Fast Five, too.
Oh, there is? Rolls.
Yeah. We'll get to it. I'm so excited.
I wish people could see you right now, Gabrus. Like, you are, like, hopping like, up and down. Are you
so
sitting
excited.
On a, are you sitting on an exercise ball, or are you just
I wish.
Kind of
I should be. My
way.
Doctor wishes. No, I'm sitting on a Sibian for the entire production.
Wait, what's a Sibian?
Oh, Bayer, don't pretend like
don't
you
pretend.
Don't know.
I don't know. What's a
just
Sibian?
Just Google it. S-Y-B-I-A-N. Listeners of all of Nicole's podcasts, get excited to hear her reaction to what a Sibian
ooh,
is.
Ooh, a sex machine.
Now we'll get in this and now. Did this switch over to Why Won't You Impregnate Me? Because I have a lot of things well, to talk about.
Oh, thank you, Nangle. For the listeners, Nangle's holding up her Sibian into the frame so everyone knows what, like, so Nicole can get an idea of what one looks like.
Why has no one told me about this?
I thought you would have one in one of your tubs in your house or something.
Oh my God.
This is just my everyday one. I can get my holiday one if you want to see it.
But the one that has a stocking on, like a Christmas stocking.
It's up in the crawl space.
I'm going to get a purple
out for
one.
Seasonal,
oh
like
my
you're
God.
Like a high school, like a teacher who changes their whole room over for holidays.
Well, because when people are drag racing really loud, I'm like, you know what? I'm turning on all my Sibians. I'm putting them in the yard, and they are loud. They talk to each other, I think.
The generator that charges them all.
That's
going
how I fight back with this drag racing in my neighborhood.
I can't sleep without the white noise of my Sibian going all night.
Should I get a beige attachment? Chocolate or purple.
Nicole is adding to cart as we're riffing about Sibians over here. I fucking love it. That's a good level of fame to have where you're like, hey, I heard about a new sex toy. It's like, well, I'm gonna order it.
Do you
click
think,
click
I mean,
click
is there like a I feel like this has to have been made like a Fast and the Furious movie, but instead of racing cars, they're just like playing Mario Kart or one of those like, you know, Xbox games or something. And like still the girls are half naked and just rush to whoever wins and don't
yeah,
say a word.
There's still steel drums and like zoom in of butt cleavage for PG-13 sexuality.
Because I feel like that's more normal.
Not normal,
but like more, you know.
Even more topical. Yeah.
One, added to cart. Buying it as soon as we're done here. But I just wanted to do a little bit of trivia.
Yes.
So over 100 cars were destroyed or wrecked during filming. That's so many.
What's the difference?
Well, I guess. No,
wait,
I guess
are you
no
saying
difference.
The words destroyed and wrecked on the Sibian website?
This will destroy you. This one will wreck you.
This one will
would
wreck
you want to get
you.
Destroyed or wrecked, lady?
I want to get wrecked because I think
the two dials just go from
wrecked,
destroyed to wrecked.
I can come back from it a little easier.
Destroyed. It's only got two settings, destroyed and wrecked. It's like, I need to warm up a little here for fuck's sake.
One of them is Han. One of the settings is Han.
There we go. That's the light warm up that I'm looking for.
Because he keeps coming.
He keeps coming back, that's for sure.
Wait, what? Is there more trivia?
There is. Okay, so prior to filming, the crew went to Japan and bought as many JDM, Japanese domestic market vehicles, as they needed because they have the steering wheel on the right. Okay, this is the only Fast and Furious film not to star Paul Walker prior to his death. Tokyo Drift is also the lowest grossing film in the Fast and Furious franchise. I understand.
Well, it just doesn't have Paul Walker's face or Vin Diesel's face.
Yeah.
After watching the first two movies, you understand why either one of them can pull a fucking blockbuster together. They have whatever it is that they have. It's not a normal actor's charisma. They have something else, but both of them pull it off. The fact that this movie is at all watchable without the two of them in it is a testament to Sung Kang. Sorry, Lucas Black, I'm not giving you credit here, but it's a testament to Sung Kang as Han and a testament to a lot of the other extra characters, but especially Justin Lin. He just brought an energy to this movie that what made it feel like a Fast and the Furious movie.
What they have is a 16-year-old fiance that you need.
I will say, the money that this movie made, I don't think I'd be like, oh, we're going to do a fourth one, because the budget was $85 million and then it earned $158 million internationally. And then $23 million, it's open. Well, it doesn't have total. I think it's $158 million total. That's like not that much of a profit.
No. I mean, it is, of course, an insane movie profit, but like not like they are nowadays where you're like,
now it's like Avengers, you spent $1 and it made $20 billion. So Tyler Perry can do whatever he wants.
Oh my God, Tyler Perry's the Fast and the Furious.
Oh my God, imagine. I would watch that.
Madea goes fast and Madea goes furious.
It's just about a bunch of church wives that get cheated on.
Two movies, 5 hours, one page of script.
Honestly, I would watch Madea's Tokyo Drift, okay? I think it would be very funny.
We're drifting. It would be like the commercial would have drift, right? Are you talking about a drift?
Good afternoon, we're drifting.
Good afternoon, drifting.
My God. So we're at the end. Christine.
Yeah.
What are your final thoughts on Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift?
Will you watch any more on your own?
I will watch 9. I'm curious now to watch 9 to find out how it all comes together. I will do the fast forward 10 seconds thing a lot during the races.
Oh, you're going to do it a lot because Fast 9 is about 45 minutes longer than this movie.
Oh my God.
Which is so, you said that last week and I can't imagine an almost 3-hour movie about, but I guess Hobbs and Shaw was very long and I
once
loved
you hit to
every
fast
second
five,
of it.
They're minimum 2 hours. They're never below 2.5 again.
Should I watch Hobbs and Shaw?
Hobbs and Shaw's a good time.
I watched Jungle Cruise last night and
oof, how is that?
I hate to say it, but I think The Rock phoned it in. Like, it was really hard to watch The Rock phone it in. It made my heart sad.
I have some rock based exhaustion. We'll talk about it because he makes his appearance in Fast Five 2 weeks from now. But I'm tired of The Rock a little bit, and I am applying a lot of stuff that I dislike about current movie making onto The Rock, and he is a main proponent of a lot of stuff that bothers me. But I used to love him so much. He just doesn't choose interesting shit. I feel like he just chooses money, and he's like, oh, I can make 5 of these. Great.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do the first one now.
I really liked the Jumanji movies.
Yeah.
I thought he was really good in those.
He's taking a little swing, especially in Jumanji 2. They're doing like impressions and shit. It's pretty fucking fun.
Oh, well, I haven't seen Jumanji.
The new Jumanjis are fun.
Yeah.
Like,
Jack
they really
Black,
are.
It's like Jack Black's best movie since fucking High Fidelity.
He deserved an Oscar nomination for that.
You heard it here on Newcomers Episode 3 about Tokyo Drift. Christine Nangle and John Gabers think that Jack Black should have gotten an Oscar.
Wait, really?
For Jumanji 1. Yeah. He's so good in it.
Because the part of the premise is that there's these players and then like the people playing, like he's a teenage girl. He's basically playing a teenage girl, but in his body and words.
They're
and stuff.
The avatars of different players.
The avatar. That's the word I'm looking for.
The avatar for like a 16-year-old kind of like Valley Girl type. And
so
it's
wait,
Jack
so
Black
Jumanji
claim.
Is a movie about the personification of characters in a game that people are playing?
Yes. Jumanji, the original Jumanji with Robin Williams from the 90s is about a board game that ends up being real life. And it's like about jungle adventures.
You get sucked into the board game.
To update it for the reboot, they made it video games instead
of board
game.
You get sucked into the video game. So back to this. I think that it is like everything wrong with everything. Like sometimes I think like if I could have gone back to one important time in my lifetime that could maybe have helped sexism be slightly less crazy, it would have been like day one of the set of American Pie and just been like, guys, no, we can't do any of this. A movie which I love.
We haven't made movies like this since the 80s for a reason, guys.
Like, I know that my, you know, my, if I had a time machine, I probably should have stopped other things from happening. But I also think that day one of filming of American Pie would have been a big deal. But this movie
To be fair, Jason Biggs was one of the architects of 9/11 as well. So if you stop American Pie, you do help us in a lot of ways. Good.
Well, I didn't say he was going to die. I didn't say I was going to kill him.
Well, it's the only way to stop American Pie. Nagel, take this gun and get the time machine, quick.
He still could have done 9/11 if I stopped American Pie. But it just like kind of just the way over the top crazy object. Like I said, like I felt like it should have just been cars driving teenage girls around and racing them against each other. So I was not a fan, except Han. He really like kept me watching. And the fact that I had to do this. But I will watch Hobbs and Shaw, because those are like, there is something just about certain actors that are just like, you're saying the craziest stuff, but I care. Like, I believe
If I remember correctly, Hobbs and Shaw is truly off the rails.
Yeah, it's insane. If you do remember correctly, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say
Idris
it's the
Elba
worst.
Plays an insane
superhero bad guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like an half android. Robot or something, yeah, right? Yeah.
He's got like biohacking done to the extreme with nanotech.
Wait, so that one goes like supernatural? Because the other ones don't really go supernatural.
This one, that one goes the most supernatural. It's a guy has like bonkers. Cybernetic enhanced. Idris Elba has, I can't believe I'm about to say a movie that features Vanessa Kirby, absolute crush, Jason Statham, absolute crush, Idris Elba, absolute crush, is kind of boring and bad. And,
okay, that's good to know.
Well, I will say Vanessa Kirby made somebody mad in the makeup department, because there were some points where I was like, just get her chapstick. I know she's doing a lot of action. I don't need her in a full face of makeup, but these lips, they need moisture.
Just give her a little bit of moisture, would you please?
Okay, well, now I'm Googling Hobbs and Shaw. We got to end the podcast.
Smart. You mean Christine, in general or just this episode?
Oh, no.
No, just this episode. Okay, I'm good. Like, this was a bad movie. It was bad. I like Han. It's about all I liked. It was really, really tough.
Yeah,
but
it was like watching a show I didn't like, but, oh, this actor, I love him in this them in this new project, so it's fun to watch them in this.
But, Vin Diesel at the end is what kept me going. I was like, if he had not appeared at the end, I probably would have been, like, done with I'd be like, I don't really want to watch another movie.
Totally.
You sucked me back in. I fucking love Vin Diesel. One day I'll marry him.
I didn't know you loved him that much.
I cut pictures of him out in my youth and hung them on my wall.
Oh my
He's
God.
Like my first like crush.
I wow. recommend getting the Vin Diesel multifacial brand Sibian.
Oh yeah, watch is it called multifacial?
I believe it's called multifacial.
It's got a Groot attachment.
He's got this.
I am Groot. I'm Groot and Shree. Bayer, are you okay? Yeah, I accidentally called for Groot mid-stroke.
Christine, do you have anything you want to plug?
No. I don't want to talk about. I don't want to say that right after Sibian. Do I have anything I want to plug?
You want to have anything you want to plug? I mean, unplug your Sibian because the audio is becoming super loud now.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry.
Maybe I'll be plugging the Sibian when I get mine.
Yeah. Just check out twitter.com.
Please, are you happy at home? Perfect. Check out twitter.com and change
we'll take
that.
Care of that.
Twitter truly is awful, but you are very funny on it.
Yeah,
Nango, you.
You
crush it.
I love you guys,
I use promo code newcomers to get 20% off your Sibian.
And check out my new podcast, Why Won't You Impregnate Me?
Mostly, I just shouted at drag racers around my neighborhood.
Why won't you impregnate me?
You're going so much faster now.
Away from me.
That's hurting my feelings. That feels unnecessary.
Just like tap the brakes a little.
Look, roll down the window. Give me a fucking pretend like it's a chance.
Oh, man. Well, it was a treat to see you guys.
It was nice a treat to see you. We have our rate and review.
Oh boy!
What happened?
Oh boy! Please don't say
review. But review.
Yeah, that's technically there. We got a 5-star review from Hahork, who says, "Welcome to the family. Gabrus is the rock to Nicole and Lauren's Vin and Walker. I've enjoyed every season so far, but I'm really excited to hear everyone talk about the insanity of Hobbs and Shaw. Just a few more episodes away, fam. Coming in hot."
Also, thank you that I get to be Vin Diesel. I'm really happy about that.
I'm so glad I'm the hairless, sexless Dwayne the Rock Johnson. We're here in the basement gym getting the lift on early, and then we're going to eat sushi and drink Terramina.
I'm going to read one more review. This is from Mischief Mandy. Oh, Mischief Mandy. Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Mischief Mandy.
I just spent the whole first Fast and Furious episode laughing very much out loud at work. Love. So if you want us to read a review that you write, fucking write it. And then
we'll say your fucking handle said out loud. How fucking fun is that?
Yeah. We'll be back next week with Fast and Furious.
Ampersand, baby.
Was a HeadGum original.